Hey guys, Ashley Daniels here for another recap of The Real Housewives of New York. So excited to be with my girls tonight. We want to know, do you think John and Bethany actually made up tonight? You'll find out soon. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
So a continuation of what I was just doing.
Oh, look at the lights.
Guys,
I know.
Alexis in the booth.
I mean, it matches her purse. It matches Fern Ronay's Better in the Morning cover, the purse. Guys, the book is out. I am so excited. We've all been talking about this for a while now. I'll let Fern talk about her own book, but I just wanted to hold it as I talk about the show. Welcome to another episode of The Real Housewives of New York Recap, Season 8, Episode 4, Barbecue Brunch or Bust. Barbecues are making a big set. Like, it's insane. All these Real Housewives
are talking about barbecues.
Barbecues. Yeah, it's not just New York. I mean, we've got Kyle Richards talking about her own version of barbecues. So anyway, I'm Ashley Daniels. You can tweet me at Ashley Daniels. This is Fern Ronay's book, if I didn't already tell you 50 times. Better in the Morning.
Thank you.
So excited for her. You're amazing.
Thank you.
She's a lawyer,
Yay.
Too.
Hey, guys. It's Megan Secker, and I got my copy of Better in the Morning yesterday. It's pretty timely. Look, we're talking about Housewives of New York. This is a single girl in Manhattan. You all need to get your copy. Better in the Morning by Fern Ronay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We are celebrating Fern Ronay tonight and all the housewives and their fabulousness. And this girl's flipping amazing.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I'm Lindsay Wagner. You guys can tweet me at Lindsay Wagner and the girl herself.
I'm Fern Ronay. I feel like I need a witty comment like the checks in the mail. Okay, next week. But I seriously did not pay them to do this. Thank you guys so much. I'm Fern Ronay. You can find me on all social media, and this is my book, and thank you for
Where
all
can
the
they
support.
Get your book?
You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and it's an e-copy right now, but the print release will be next week.
Amazing. Yay! I'm so excited. What? Just quickly, who can really relate to your book? Is this like, give me a little...
So the one-liner is it's the story of a single 29-year-old Manhattan lawyer who's been guided in her dreams by her dead Italian grandparents, and it's called Better in the Morning, and follow the hashtag Better in the Morning book. And I always believe that everyone who's meant to read this book would be led to it somehow. So if you're listening to this, maybe it's you, maybe it's someone you know, just go to Amazon and search Better in the Morning. Thank you.
Okay, so you believe in reincarnation and signs and all that. Cool. I so believe in that. I interview a lot of psychics on my Periscope and like about reincarnation. I'm so into that stuff. And yeah. I think my grandpa's a bird right now, actually.
John Edwards, actually. Did he tweet your book yesterday?
Yes, no! He tweeted.
Yes. I'm obsessed with him.
I did a spotlight on with him. I love
you. Did he read you at all?
What a great opportunity.
He did not.
At the end.
Ooh,
like I didn't want to be read during the spotlight on because I was like, I don't want to cry. And I'm the last person that needs a reading. Like, I believe they're with me. I know it. But then after he did read me and I wrote about it on my blog and he, like the cameras were off and he was just like, I have something coming through. I'm sorry, let's be quick. I know.
No, please.
He's like, I have something coming through. It's a J, the East Coast. And my 21-year-old cousin died 6 weeks before my 30th birthday. Talk about turning your mess into your message, and I believe it was her, and it was the cameras were off. It was he said things that were.
I gotta watch this. When did you do it? I gotta find it on AfterBuzz.
Last year. He's been so supportive of the book. He's awesome.
That is so amazing that he did that for you.
Oh, I know. He's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Lovely, lovely, good person.
I'm watching that spotlight on immediately after this show. Okay. Back to the Real Housewives. So we were really waiting for this because we wanted to see if John and Bethany make up. If you did not watch it, please watch it before you listen to us because this is a big spoiler alert because they don't really make up. I mean, actions speak louder than words, and there were many times after the apology and the clear the air had happened that Bethany just walked by John and didn't acknowledge him. And yeah, it was insane. So let's go from the beginning. So Dorinda's coaching John on how to apologize to Bethany. I think we all feel a little bit of like deja vu with all the moments that everybody else tries to coach Ramona on how to apologize. So I don't know if Andy Cohen's going to do a little version of the apologizer tonight in John and maybe how John's trying to apologize. But I feel like Watch What Happens Live is going to have some John trying to apologize and chase Bethany, like Jaws music in the background going on.
I think you're right.
Because it was hilarious. Have you guys ever had a moment where you know someone's trying to talk to you or apologize to you or something and you like are avoiding it so much that you just are like feel like you can't breathe because it's like claustrophobia, like it's crazy?
Yes. See, I'm such an avoider.
The easiest thing to do, though, I just had this on Monday night. Somebody did something that really bothered me and scared me and they came up to talk to me. I'm like, don't talk.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Me right now, just walk away from me right now. I'm not gonna do this. We're not gonna do this right now. And then tried again literally 5 minutes later. I was like, seriously, just let me be right now. Mm-hmm. Let me come to you and then talk to you, which I did 45 minutes later. Then I went and talked to him after, and I'm like, look, this is why I was upset. I hope you can understand. I'm not gonna hold a grudge. I just needed my space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like that's the best way to handle it versus like running around a party trying to chase someone down if Bethany's not ready. It's also Bethany's party, so I was kind of annoyed with her and frustrated with her. Like, clear the air. If this is your party, you feel uncomfortable, we'll fix it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm so emotional, but so I have avoided people. Like, I can't fake it. If I'm mad at someone, I can't fake it. I can't, like, if I'm still mad at them, I can't clear the air right away. But I know how important it is to let things go, mm-hmm. and that when the time is right, you have to just talk about it. And if I were having someone at my house that I was mad at, I would suck it up, because you have to be a good host and be like, mm-hmm. listen, you're at my house, let's just mm-hmm. get over it. And at least welcome him to the party. You don't have to be best friends with him.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess in this case, do you guys feel that because it was Bethany's house, she didn't uninvite him, she knew he was probably going to come, that she should have initially said, like, welcome to my home, like, and just kind of put a brave face on just because she was the host?
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is also days later. I'm talking about, like, what I was saying was somebody did something right then and there, and I was like, look, don't talk to me right now. We're talking, this was a week ago, her fight with John on her actual birthday, mm-hmm. right?
It
was
like, I think we said 3 days ago.
3 days ago. So you still have a little time to process and, like, cool down. I'm not saying she didn't have any reason to be upset, because she did. Mm-hmm. But welcome into the home. Like, yeah. Why are you going to make it awkward for everyone there?
I'm shocked that Bethany, of all people, was avoiding and running away. And her, of all people, the most blunt, mm-hmm. question-asking, let's get to the point person. I was shocked that this was her behavior, honestly. Carol, 100%. That's me. I'm a Carol. I'm going to an avoider. I can't bear to be upset. And it's mm-hmm. like, I can't. So yeah. I'm just with Bethany. I can't believe she was running away. It's her own house. That, she said that, like, yes, so go, just to squash it.
She and wasn't being a good host, like, just sitting with her friends at the table. Like, nope. She should be going around. And
it's not easy being a host of a party, because you do have to go around, make sure everybody's okay, mm-hmm. and check in on everyone. And she was being very clicky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw Luann try mm-hmm. to sit down. We'll get to that. But, yeah, I thought Bethany would have done something a little bit different, because it's Bethany. And like you say, Megan, like, she's confident. Like, she's mm-hmm. the type that handles the situation. She doesn't avoid them. So Dorinda's trying to coach John on how to apologize to Bethany before this whole party. He seems pretty open to it. He's not fighting against it. Jules, on the other hand, she's kind of like, well, you know what, John? Like, do whatever you feels right, you know? And at the same time, Bethany, or so the production company has us believe at that very moment, Bethany and Carol are hanging out at Bethany's house, and they're talking about Luann being there and possibly, you know, having a discussion with her. Maybe Luann will apologize. So it's a lot of issues going on at this moment, and they're all trying to make the best situation possible for Bethany's party. Overall tonight, how did you guys feel about Carol? Just in the way she avoided the situation with Luann, and I don't know, even at the party at the end, at Jules's brunch, I don't know. How did you guys feel about Carol overall?
I think it's so hard to match up a person who wants to avoid conflict at all costs and someone who wants to dive right in. I thought it was strange Luann's acting like she has no memory of why the heck Carol mm-hmm. isn't talking to her. Like, that was silly. That was on her part, trying to be like, why can't we talk? What's wrong? But I think it's very hard to get two people who have completely different conflict resolution styles, shall we say, to have a resolution to their conflict. And I thought, I don't know if I think, like, it was handled the best way. I guess it was. You know what? She did handle it great, because she said, we're going to say it in front of everyone. It's going to be right here, which I thought's a great way to do it, because then it's not, oh, we had a conversation in the corner, and then each of them have their own version to everyone else of what happened. Like, everyone got to hear it. And it couldn't get too crazy or too heated because it was in front of everyone, which is good. She felt safe sticking by, you know, Bethany probably. If she needed to be like, Bethany, back me up on this. Bethany's right there. Bethany did walk away at one point, which got weird. I'm wondering why that happened, just thinking about it at the moment. And she won. Like, she won that argument. She was completely right. She said, then you tell me what I said that hurt you. I know I'm right in this. Then you tell me. And she totally won the argument without being mean or without being catty, and it was over. And they agreed to not be friends. So it's going to forever be awkward, but they agreed to be cordial to each other. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to work out that's their resolution, but I felt like it was the perfect resolution to the issue.
Well, Carol's initial thing was, I would like to plan on having a healthy distance from Luann before the party even started. So I thought it was a little more healthy than Bethany's distance from John. It was a little more cordial, right?
And she wasn't the host.
She wasn't the host. Exactly. Yeah.
I loved how Luann was so awkward and was like, you can't keep ignoring me. And she was like, actually, I can't.
It's classic.
Even at one point, did you hear Carol say, Carol and John were with, what is Jules' husband's name? Is it Michael?
Michael.
And she said something like, I don't care. Carol said she didn't care about something, meaning about, like, the situation with Luann. And then John's like, yeah, I don't care either. And she goes, well, you should. And she, like, told her, you should care. So she steps up when she needs to. I thought overall she did a really great job tonight. I didn't think that she planned on having any confrontation with Luann. So when you don't plan on it, which clearly she didn't because she said she plans on having a distance from her, she was prepared enough speak.
I agree with both of you. I think she handled that really, really well and kept it calm. There was nothing rude that was being said. There was no, like, really anger or insult to anything. It was more of a, if I said something to you, tell me what you said, like you said, Megan, like just tell me so I know. But Luann couldn't come up with anything, and the only thing that Carol wanted was just then say you're sorry. And Luann couldn't give that to her, so I felt for Carol in that situation. It was like, okay, she's just trying to, like, make things cordial for the rest of it. I didn't like the way she handled it at Jules' house. I thought, like, let's be an adult now. Now you look like you're, like, running away. And even Bethany's like, get off my jock. She said it again.
Oh, yeah.
Get off my jock. Let's just, like, are we staying? Are we going? Tell me what we're doing. Because you're, like, she's kind of almost being not manic about it, but kind of, like, wishy-washy. Like, are we touring? Are we not? What's happening? Because it was just awkward. It's just stay or just go.
It was like a weird, like, physical clinging to Bethany for safety kind of thing. So, which was strange because I thought she really held her ground and won that argument the day before. So I thought it was strange that she was so uncomfortable around Luann.
Yeah. The party was horrible. It was like the worst birthday ever.
I could feel the tension.
Right? Yeah.
It was horrible. Crazy.
It was middle school all over again. It was horrible. Okay, so they go to the party. John shows up with Jules and Michael and Dorinda, and everybody's already there. Luann shows up later. Ramona shows up, but she has to leave early because she's single and she's not settled down, so she needs to go into the city and find herself a man, basically. And I'm happy for her. At least she's being honest. Remember that time she left the Berkshires on a private plane to go to Molly Sims' party or something? And she's like, I don't know what her excuse was, but
she can't miss out.
Yeah.
They caught her through a photo, right? Yeah.
Something like that. Was it Molly Sims' party? I think it was.
Okay.
It's funny. She, like, went on a private jet. That was interesting. So she always leaves these events. There are times where she leaves these events, not always. So we're at the party, and John is trying so hard to follow Bethany around, and they're playing the Jaws music. Shout out to whatever production company that is that does this show, because that was genius. It's literally like the Jaws music in the background. And Bethany feels it, and so she's like, this is so awkward. I'm not having fun at my own party. I should be having fun. And like you said, Megan, I just was surprised how Bethany was handling that situation because it is her house and he's standing with her cups in her hand and eating her food. And my heart, even though I don't like John because of everything he's done, I felt bad for him in that situation.
Me too.
I was a little team John here.
Me too.
I was a little bit team John and not team Bethany in this. And I don't really like John either.
Yeah.
He was a boob last week.
Yeah. But then he opens his mouth and I was like,
well, but he was just wanted to fix it so badly and just be done with it. And considering it was making Bethany so uncomfortable at her own party, that creates tension for all your guests.
Right. Yeah.
That's the worst part, is if you genuinely care about the people that are at your party, fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that no one else needs to feel uncomfortable or awkward.
Do you think Dorinda should have fixed the situation because, in a sense, she's her friend and she's his girlfriend? Or do you think it's right that she wants to stay out of it?
If I was Dorinda, I would have, and Bethany ignored John the way that she did and walked away from him, I would have said, you know what, sweetheart? Let's go. This is not the time. Mm-hmm. This is awkward. We're ruining her birthday, even though we're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. It's just not the time. If I would have been Dorinda, I would have left. Been like, let's just let them have their birthday party.
Would you guys have left?
I think maybe, because I get very bashful and I feel ashamed and I don't like conflict, so I would feel very like nervous and not well. And
me too. I would have been so miserable and I would have been like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, we could be like somewhere else having fun.
Like, I'm very like empathetic person, so the fact that like anybody else would feel on edge, like I would feel it too, and I wouldn't feel well, and it's like I would have to get out of there.
Did you feel like Michael was the reason maybe he didn't leave? Because they kind of like laughed a little bit whenever she would walk by him and they were like, okay, we tried again. Like, almost like it was kind of like a joke in a sense.
I think Michael's just a peacemaker in general. I think with Jules, he's that way. I think that's just who he is in real life, because later on when we kind of see Bethany kind of insulting the house and the construction, he doesn't say a thing. He just stays quiet and smiles.
What a gentleman.
A gentleman. He's totally the opposite of John. But but he's a gentleman like in this situation. So I think he's just trying to make light of a situation and keep it peaceful.
Yeah. Do you think they know what really happened? Do you think Jules and Michael were really filled in on what really happened? Jules was there, but I mean Michael. Do you think he was really filled in on what John said? And do you think Jules even painted the picture correctly to Michael as to what John said to Bethany that night? Because I feel like John didn't even know what he said that night, and Dorinda kind of didn't know. Just the way they're – just because if they did know what was said, I feel like it would be such a different they would go about everything so differently. Maybe a letter would be written, or like, I don't know, apology ahead of time or something. Just like bashing her company and everything. Do you think that?
Do you think they were like so drunk and like they didn't?
I don't know. Like, Bethany even kind of said, she was like, do you even know what you're apologizing for? I don't think he even knows what he's apologizing for. And I wonder if Michael actually knows how John behaved that night, because I don't know if he would stand by him as much. I'm just literally asking. I don't know.
Jules didn't seem drunk. Like, she seemed
very in control. But do you think she would have painted the picture exactly the way it happened? Because then that's really painting John in a bad light.
We saw it a little bit. Like, we saw footage of them in the car. So Jules was kind of relaying to Michael. But all I remember her saying is, like, Dorinda was hysterical.
Exactly.
Like, that's, I don't know what else she did say.
I'm sure they probably had a private conversation, sans the cameras. Right after the party, because if something like that happened and I was at a party or something and I came home to my boyfriend or my husband, I'd be like, sweetheart,
wake up.
I have something to lay on you right now. I've got to tell you this because I need to like get this off my chest right now because I'd want to tell somebody, or I'd call a good girlfriend and tell them what happened.
Yeah.
So I feel like she probably told, and especially in being John's friend more than Bethany's friend, probably said, like, this is what Bethany said. And if her husband, being the peacemaker he is, would probably ask, why did she say that? So I feel like she would fill him in on the whole story.
Okay.
And say that John came in kind of guns blazing, attacking Bethany's company, and Bethany came back with, I feel like she would have been honest about that, which I give her props for.
And I feel like even if he knew the whole truth, he would still do whatever Jules wants him to do. I mean, he seems like just like a nice, decent guy, and he would do whatever she wants him to do, go to the party.
Yeah, he's obviously going to side with his wife.
Right.
Whatever makes her happy, which is a good husband quality to have.
Yeah. Okay. So then we get Luann with her, was it a hula hoop? Yeah, she had a hula hoop with her.
Oh, so weird.
Luann walks in with a hula hoop for the barbecue. I didn't think it was so weird that like, Bethany had to, was it Bethany or Carol? Someone made a comment like that it was kind of weird to bring it.
Carol
made the comment. I don't know. I'm thinking back and I'm like, maybe, what? It is kind of, maybe she was at the store and she saw it. You know how like CVS has, I don't know why she brought it. I'm trying to figure out a reason why Luann brought it.
I'm like, do they have a private joke about a hula? Like, I thought I missed something.
It was like no flowers or like a bottle of wine or something along with it. Where you're like, oh, maybe she picked that up when she was there, but like nothing else. So it was.
Maybe she brought it as a gift for Bryn, but that was like cutting room floor or something.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, regardless, she shows up late and she says hi to Carol, kisses her, and you know, and Carol makes a point. She's like, well, Luann always makes an entrance. You know, the Countess makes her entrance. Mm-hmm. And then we get into her trying to sit down with all the other girls. Some of them we don't know who they were, but other ones, it was like Carol and Bethany and I think Dorinda. And there was no room at the table. And I just immediately thought of Mean Girls or like any show that we ever watched growing up where the popular girls were at the popular table.
Mm-hmm. But Bethany, even being the host, knowing the situation with Carol and Luann, made the smart choice by not getting up. Because she knew Carol would be uncomfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So normally if I was sitting at a party and somebody was trying to sit down, I would immediately give up my seat first if I was hosting the party. But if I know two people are kind of feuding or not getting along, I would maybe get up and introduce them to somebody else to sit with.
Right.
But not to sit there.
I think like that was the only place to sit that had a tabletop. So Luann wanted to sit there. So maybe Bethany could have like been like, oh, let's go get new, like, we're going to refresh our drinks. We'll be right back. Kind of a thing to give her somewhere to sit with a tabletop. Because she seemed very upset that there was nowhere else to sit with a tabletop. And it was very Mean Girls.
It's a barbecue, man. You pick up that corn on the cob or the rib.
Well, she was upset she couldn't sit at the table. So I was thinking maybe she wanted a tabletop. I don't know.
But yeah, no, Bethany should have directed her away from, like, have you had a Moscow Mule? Like, directed her away from Carol.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a lot of the tweets from Luann, you know, this past, prior to this exact episode being taped. And we know that there was a lot of history, a lot of craziness that went down between those two. So I think the fact she even wanted to sit at the table was a little weird, just because that's the first time they're seeing each other since they had that huge fight. So somehow Luann and Carol get into the same room and they start to hash it out. Well, not the same room, the same, like, little area. And Megan touched upon this a little bit before, but it was basically Luann like saying, you said all these things, and Carol's like, well, what things did I say? She's like, I don't want to bring it up. And it's basically the same exact thing that happens later on with Bethany and John. He's like, I don't want to bring it up. She's like, do you know what you're apologizing for? It was a lot of deja vu going on there, very similar situations. How do you guys think Carol handled it and Luann handled it? Do you think they could have handled it a little differently?
I think Luann was, like, looking to fight, maybe for camera time, but looking to get into a fight under the guise of wanting to just clear the air. She wanted to rile her up, and she just couldn't do it because Carol, from what I've, unless I'm forgetting things, but Carol, I did nothing wrong. Luann doesn't have a leg to stand on. Carol didn't break them up. Luann is just angry that she hurt a family member, and then she reacted poorly, and now she wants to forget about it. But she's never apologized. She does not have a leg to stand on. Carol's completely right, in my opinion. So I think Carol handled it perfectly and calmly because she had nothing, you know. Luann's in the wrong, I think.
I think if we, like, pull back the curtain and take a look at how the sausage is made, like, Luann wanted to pretend like nothing was wrong to, like, get in on the storyline, be on camera, you know, be back in the mix with the girls, because there's a whole weird thing going on where Sonia and Luann are kind of completely separate from everybody else so far this season. So, you know, I kind of heard some tabloid stories about how they were demanding more money before the start of this season, and they were going to kind of be pushed to, like, Friends of the Housewives status because of that. So I don't know if that's what we're seeing, and Luann's really trying to get in there and be like, buddy, buddy. Just a thought I had.
Yeah, Luann's probably like, I've had no screen time because I fought about my salary. Yeah. So now let me get into a fight with
you. You know, if that story is true, kind of, I thought that's maybe what she was up to.
Yeah.
And Sonia wasn't even at the barbecue, which we find out later on. She might not have even been invited.
Right.
Exactly.
But she wasn't there. I was like, where's Sonia for all this?
I just thought it was interesting that Luann kept on not digging, but saying little things like, oh, see, Carol has a puss on her face. I'm smiling. Like, really, we could all see that actually Luann was actually not happy about the situation. No. She wants to brush it all under the rug and just move on. And then later on, once they realize that they're not going to make up, that's the only thing they agree upon, you know, Luann's like, well, I would have said sorry if she gave me the opportunity. It's like, well, I don't think you would have, because you would have walked in a little bit differently. Do you guys think she truly would have said sorry? I think she wanted to say that because it just sounded better afterward.
Carol gave her the opportunity.
Yeah.
They were sitting there talking about it, and we know we only saw 2 minutes of the conversation, but we know that it was longer than that. They just cut to the two best minutes that they wanted to show us. So she had an opportunity to say sorry, and she didn't. Mm-hmm. She chose to not take that chance, take that opportunity.
I feel like maybe she thought she was owed an apology, too, because they did fight on Twitter, but it's like, no, no, no. You came for her. Like, yeah, you came for exactly. Carol, and you said really mean things mm-hmm. that weren't true, for sure. So, yeah.
So Luann basically, should be like, I've been immature. I reacted poorly. I'm sorry. I don't think we'll ever hear that.
No. Nope.
It was just basically Carol and Bethany all night running away from people that were trying to, like, that's what it was. It was, they were like.
It was like a middle school dance.
It was
like, when are they going to go lock themselves in the bathroom to hide? Right. Like,
it was insane. It was like, they were waiting, like, I'm going to go get a drink. Oh, you want me to help you get that drink? Like, remember those days?
I feel like I'm like that at parties, though. Like, I'm really weird. I'm really, like, nervous and shy around people I don't know. So I feel like I'm like, oh, where are you going? I'm coming too. Like, if with like the one person I know, I'll be like, the bar shirt.
But if you're the host, you can't do that.
Well, yeah, if you're the host, you know everyone.
You can do that because if you're not hosting, sure. I mean, yeah, I feel like friends kind of tend to stick together, especially if you don't know everyone. But Bethany knows everyone at that party, so she's got to be making the rounds instead of hiding behind a corner and grabbing another Moscow Mule or a piece of rib. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if she was making the rounds, she would have had less time to talk to John and probably...
She should have just gotten it over with.
She should have just said, hello, welcome, need any food or drinks? They're over here. Like, exactly. Nice seeing you. Bye. Mm-hmm. Because it was just, I don't know. That was so crazy. And then, so then John's like, oh, he overhears someone saying it's her birthday. He's like, oh, it's your birthday? Happy birthday. And she says nothing. And then she's like, my birthday was the day that I saw you at the hotel at the party. And he's like, fuck. And like, it was just super awkward. And then right after that, they go over to talk. She's like, I'll give you 5 minutes. And he's like, okay, great. He's like, I'm really sorry for anything I said that was inappropriate and rude, and I'm sorry about that. And she's like, do you know what you're apologizing for? And he's like, yeah, I don't want to bring it up, though. And she's like, well, and she just could see right through it. She's like, you attacked my business. You attacked my company. He's like, well, you're an opportunist. And she goes, yeah, but I make my own opportunities. I don't ask other people to help me. And she just shot him down time after time after time. And I felt for him a little bit because I know as a man, there's certain things you have to put into perspective. Like being a man, men want to feel like men. And she definitely is very masculine and she's way more successful than he is. So in that sense, if he's a little bit insecure, he's feeling extra insecure being around her. And then she just continually shoots him down. She's like, you're saying things that are uneducated. You came in, you were uneducated. You don't even know what you're talking about. I kind of felt for him just because the guy's like, look at him. I mean, like, he's not. He's kind of a hopeless cause in that you can't fight Bethany. It's very hard.
Yeah.
You're going to lose.
He was trying.
He was really trying. He would have been better if he just said what he was sorry for. I think she would have seen it as a little more sincere. Yeah. Did you guys feel for him at all? It was just. Like, just me.
No, I didn't.
No, okay.
He opened his mouth and I was like, oh, shut up. Like, he just should have said he was sorry, tried to understand what she was trying to say, be sincere, and it would have been resolved. But to be fair, he said, you never say anything uneducated. And she's like, no, but last week, didn't she say somebody like special needs?
I think she said, she's not in no trouble for that either.
If she's really smart, she should acknowledge that sometimes she can be wrong. She has this thing where she's always like, maybe I know everything. I never say anything uneducated.
I'm right all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. She should be a little more flexible, but I think he's just has these animal qualities that I can't even listen to him.
Megan found some tweets last week, though, that people were not happy about the special needs comment, but it never got on Watch What Happens Live that I saw.
Andy's protecting his
friend. Yeah, he loves her.
Well, and with John, I feel like I was kind of backing him up last week, and I was really, really hard on Bethany, and then I went home and I watched the show, and I felt completely different. It's insane. Like, we watch here, and then I went home and I watched it all, and I'm like, I feel completely different. I feel like Bethany is trying to protect her friend. And you know, she is nervous about, like, maybe John does drugs and, like, she doesn't want Dorinda taken advantage of. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so feeling Bethany. And then this week, it's like I'm feeling really bad for John until he opens his mouth. And then I'm, like, anti-John. So I just, I'm all over the place with this gang right now. But, no, he made a buffoon of himself. He started being rude to her and getting really defensive. And he had nothing intelligent to say to back himself up. And it should have just been, like, a total, I'm so, so sorry for what I said. You're right. I don't remember. But from what Dorinda relayed to me, I was wrong. And I'm at your house. And I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I got so frustrated, though. Why doesn't she just say, exactly what he said. Well, I feel like every 2 seconds I want someone to remind Dorinda and John what was said.
Yeah.
But even on the phone with Jules, when she was with Ramona, she didn't tell Ramona what they said. And then when she called Jules with Ramona, she didn't tell them she didn't tell her or remind her what John said.
Maybe she's holding it in the vault for later. She's kind of holding it over them. Like, you don't even know what you said, you know? Mm-hmm.
But do you think it's possible to imagine you're trying to apologize to somebody and they keep avoiding you and now it's been a couple hours. Now all of a sudden they say, you know what? Let's talk now. Talk to me. Tell me. And all of a sudden you're like...
And she is very intimidating.
Yeah. I would be scared out of my mind at that point if I was all prepared and I had my like bullet points in my head. I'm like, this is what I'm going to say. This is how I'm going to apologize. And then all of a sudden you're thrown into it. It's like calling your crush for the first time. And you're like, you've got all these things in mind that you're going to say. And you're like.
No, but even when she was telling Ramona what had happened, she said, she's like, this is just a rundown, but she did not mention anything about the business. She was like, he came in, he said, no one loves you, you have no family, whatever she relayed to Ramona, and then again, kind of talked about to Jules, nothing mentioned, like, the guy Sam, and, like, the skinny cow, and, like, and she, I don't know, if someone said that to me, I would have been like, John, you don't remember walking in saying that I stole the name Skinny Cow or Skinny or whatever? Like, I would say that because it's, hey, want me to remind you what you said?
And letting him explain himself now that he's a little bit more sober.
Yeah.
And maybe so that they can have an actual conversation about it and she can completely shut it down now when he's sober and go, look, this is the issue. Then he can actually apologize for something.
Yeah.
It gives him, and I think you're right, maybe she's holding it in the vault so that she can... pull it out and jab it in some other time.
She knows it's not going to air.
Like they'll have another explosive fight at some point, and she'll be like, you know what you said to me? You said blah, blah, blah. What do you got to say for yourself now? You know?
Right.
Very Bethany.
So then Dorinda cries, and she's really upset about it, and Bethany really feels for her. Bethany really loves Dorinda, and she loves her so much, she's willing to go back up to John after they just had that, like, really horrible version of, like, let's talk it out. And she says, listen, she walks over to her. She pulls Ramona. You know, Ramona last week walks up to, who did she walk up to and apologize? Oh, Dorinda. And she walks up to, I'm really, really sorry, and then runs away. That's what Bethany did tonight. Exactly. She's like, John's just pulled her all side away. Like, Dorinda,
exactly.
It's all side by. And, like, walks away. And, like, John's like, okay, great, happy birthday. And she's, like, already way gone.
And he's like, I feel great about this now.
Yeah. It was insane because she was just as standoffish as before and so not receptive.
Exactly.
And... not very nice about it. And he's like, I'll leave on that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh my God. And then that's really how that ends. And then the next day with the brunch, they're driving up to the house and Bethany makes a point. She says that this is really far away, this house. And so we all were thinking maybe that's why it's so big, because it's, or I was at least thinking that it's, you can get more house.
Before she even said it.
Like, right, before she even said it, I was like, oh, that's why she has such a big house, because it's like in the middle of nowhere. And then she mentions that, and they're driving up. It's Carol and Bethany, and they just are dreading it. And Bethany's just like, the last thing I want to do is see John's face and be there. They get there, and John answers the door. And Bethany makes a point. She's like, if I just had that issue, like, give me a time to breathe. Why didn't somebody else come? Do you guys think that Dorinda should have, like, been texting her, like, hey, when are you going to be here, to make sure she was at the door?
I think John was probably like, oh, we're all good now. I can answer this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Bethany is so sensitive. Like, you said you were going to have everything be fine, so then act like nothing's wrong for Dorinda. You're around Dorinda, then act like nothing's wrong for Dorinda. Like, what? She brushes past him like he's scum again.
Mm-hmm. Bethany did mention she was a little tipsy at her birthday. Do you think she remembers saying
any of that?
She walked by him like, she didn't even say like a fake hello. She just walks right by him. She's like, and walks right into the kitchen. And I was just like, oh my God. And now, it was just so awkward. It was horrible. There's tons of food there, and Carol's eating a ton. And Bethany's eating a lot, and Bethany starts to mention Jules not eating anything, and she starts mentioning things about eating disorders, to which, a lot of things she said were accurate, you know, not to get too into depth, my sister suffered from this, she's very open about it, but for years, so I saw firsthand what really happens, and everything Bethany said really does happen. They push food on you, they bring a lot of food around you, points.
Remember Jules, when they got to the party, mentioned, is there going to be anything that we can eat? Because is it going to be kosher when they got to Bethany's house? Yeah. So there was another excuse as to why she couldn't eat any food.
Right.
Which frustrated me because I said, wait, so you're so worried about the kosher thing, yet you guys can have Hawaiian punch.
Good point.
I thought I was confused. I'm confused by that. They're super duper worried about the kosher food, yet having Hawaiian punch
and breadsticks in a bag.
Breadsticks is okay, which maybe that's okay. I feel like that's a pick and choose. Like as a Catholic, you either are Catholic or you're not. And I mean, no, some people are more. I go to church every week. I read in church. I go to all the Catholic holidays or Catholic days of
worship.
Holy days.
Yeah, holy days. Right. I have to do all that. And if I didn't, I don't think it makes me a bad Catholic, but it just, I wouldn't consider somebody a practicing Catholic then. I would say you're Catholic, you're not practicing, which that's fine. It's whatever you want to do. But if she's super duper worried about the kosher thing, why is it okay to drink wine?
Did we see Michael eat it all?
Was he eating schmear?
I don't remember.
He said, I'm on my second plate, but I'm
not. At the brunch, yeah, but at the barbecue, I didn't see him eating.
I don't think we saw them eating.
At the brunch, they were eating. He was eating, I think.
He was eating. We didn't see her eat.
Yeah. John was getting attacked by bees. That was another story.
And he didn't have his EpiPen.
No EpiPen. I don't know. I would like to know what you guys think about Jules with that. I did meet Jules. I didn't think she was too thin because she's. I just don't look for that with people that are really tall. That's terrible of me. But like when you're really tall, I just assume you're just like skinny and tall.
But did you also say she had something?
She had a really big baggy dress. Like it was like very. It was very loose and like frilly and pretty. And so I didn't even look at her body. But yeah, I don't know. That's a little bit disturbing when Bethany says that. Then I think about it. Otherwise, I don't really think about it unless she says that.
I think my issue with it is that Bethany mentioned it in front of her face at her house, mm-hmm. putting her hand in front of her mouth to whisper. Like, first of all, you don't whisper about people as a grown woman,
Right there.
Putting your hand up in front. 2 feet away from the woman.
Yeah, so
and
rude.
It's like, you couldn't wait until the car to tell her this? Like,
and she already insulted her, the fact that they're doing construction and that it's taking 7 years. And
telling
she's,
them they have a money pit? That's so my God. Rude.
And it reminds that her of Alex and Simon's house when they were doing the three-year thing. And I think Jules, by not saying anything and by not addressing it, was good. Just to not create, because Bethany's essentially instigating something yet again. But Jules is like, I have a 23,000 or 20,000 square foot home. You had a 2,300 square foot home. Of course, it's going to be done a lot quicker.
Yeah. Right. I think Bethany, in her heart, is always trying to help.
I think so, too.
But she comes off like she's not trying to help. But I think she, like, sees it, and she sees a problem that could be avoided, and she wants to just let you know. Exactly. She doesn't have a very nice way of saying
it. Bad tact.
She wants to say, this is what happened to me. I know from experience, but she says it with no tact.
She makes you feel like you're inferior to her and that you're doing it all wrong. Right. And so you got to take the good with the bad with Bethany. Yeah. I would listen to everything she says, just forget how she says it.
Right.
Right.
So Jules isn't going to do that because Jules doesn't really see
but
that.
But I would take it personally if she came into my new home and said, you're never going to be able to sell this, I would never speak to her again because I would be like, that's like the evil eye. Like, you don't walk into someone's home and say anything. That's like, I don't know. I'm Italian.
It's like bad vibes out there.
The Malloy guy. Exactly. So I would be like, that's just wrong.
To find out later when they were running out of the house that that Dorinda had said that she was so excited to have Bethany and Carol their house. And you saw how much work she put into everything.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful
spot. I know. For me, I had like seven friends over once and I was like, 3 months ago. And I remember, it took me, all day. Because I had a little apartment. And I'm like, I'm so excited for that, big, all those people and the cameras.
And she's excited.
And they wanted to leave so badly. And they just walked out in the middle of the... I didn't think... They looked like they just walked out after they had the pool. They went to the pool. They kind of ran out.
They ran away. That was so rude.
And I feel like they weren't excited. If you made new friends and they are building a pool in your house, wouldn't you be like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So glad we're friends. I can't wait to hang out here.
Yeah.
It's, stunning and beautiful and amazing. And I feel like they weren't... Maybe they cut it out, but they weren't giving those vibes at all.
I thought Carol was going to. It seemed like Carol was a little bit back and forth because she kind of knew that she probably should take the tour. I think if anybody ever offers you the tour, you're supposed to take it.
Mm-hmm. And
that's what I heard just growing up. If anybody tells you, do you want to see a tour, you can't say no. Mm-hmm. And she was right. She's it's going to take an hour. But you got to kind of do it. So it was an awkward time. Anything else you guys wanted to mention about, this really not awkward brunch or not awkward barbecue.
Michael. He's my favorite right now.
I like him too.
I think he's so sweet and gentlemanly.
Mm-hmm. I really like Jules this episode.
I did.
She stood up for Dorinda in Bethany's she shed bar in the back, and she was like, "No, that's her boyfriend, and you're making it awkward for her." I was like, "What a good friend!"
It's hard to stand up to Bethany, especially being the new girl. So
Good for her.
Let's get into some predictions because it looks crazy next week.
We get to see Sonia. and find out why the heck she's not liked by Bethany. And that is always going to be interesting to see who's on Bethany's crap list.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She was invited, she thinks.
We don't know if she's invited or not. I want to see more of Sonia. I was like, Sonia, she's wild and crazy and fun. And she's just got a great, like, I think Sonia's got a really good vibe and energy about her.
That's why it wasn't fun this week.
And I've missed a little bit of her, like, silly, like, silliness. Uh-huh. She's a really fun person. So I look forward to seeing Sonia next week.
Fern, what can we find you next week?
I don't know.
You said we have to wrap up, so I don't think we get any more
really
predictions.
Quickly, I thought it was rude at first of Bethany to bring up the eating disorder. I'm like, don't even go there. Like, that's so personal and
fishy talk.
But it's interesting that Jules does bring it up next week, so I'm interested to hear what she has to say.
I know, it's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm.
All right. Any predictions?
Oh, no. I'm beyond excited for that conversation. Like, let's get it out in the open. Yeah. Let's hear about it. I don't think it goes well because then we see her talking to Carol and I forget who else saying it. She's making it really hard to like her. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe all you guys. All right. So, Fern, where can we find you?
This is Fern Ronay. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Ronay. In case you haven't heard, I have a book out. It's called Better Than Fern. And you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
And this is Lindsay Wagner here. You guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wagner or my blog, lindsaywagner.blogspot.com.
And you guys can find me, Megan Stecker, on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram. All of those are the same name. It's all Megan Stecker, MEGANSTECHER.
Amazing. You can find me on Periscope and Twitter at Ashley Daniels and Snapchat's I'm Ashley Daniels. And we love you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.